Monster Man, Episode 275, Zorbo and Zygom. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're covering the last two monsters from Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, it's time to thank a Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. Today's patron is not a new patron, but someone who's increased their pledge level, so thank you very much, Jesse Ross. Your support means a lot to me. The first monster for today's episode is the Zorbo. Now, the Zorbo in modern D&D, so in 5th edition, where they've made a bit of a comeback because they feature in Tomb of Annihilation, they are described as being a bit like a koala bear. Here, I don't think that's right. They have a much more conventionally bear-like appearance, except that they do have the, like, tufted ears that I would associate with a koala bear. So there's that. And what the Zorbo does is that it basically has the powers of the Thor villain, the Absorbing Man, where he could absorb the qualities of materials that he was touching. You know, so like he would stand on some concrete and touch it, and then he would be as hard as concrete. That's the Zorbo, and actually it wasn't until I read this thing that it occurred to me that Zorbo, of course, is just short for Absorbo, right? They absorb things, they're Absorbos. So it absorbs the qualities of the material it's surrounded by, and because that makes it harder, depending on what the material is, that affects both its AC and the amount of damage it does. So initially, Zorbos are just kind of harmless animals. They're AC 10, and they do 1d2 damage. And as they absorb the qualities of a material that they're touching, they gain additional AC, and they do additional damage. So a Zorbo that was on the metal surface would become AC 0, and their damage bonus increases by the difference between their starting AC and their new AC, so you'd be in the weird position of having a monster that did 1d2 plus 10 damage. A really extreme case of the often pointed out fact that as bonuses start to stack up in D&D, the actual dice rolls become less and less relevant. In some editions, you wind up with these ridiculous things where you're rolling like 1d6 plus 20 or whatever, and the actual die roll just hardly matters. The Zorbo falls into that rarefied category that includes the Zarin, the Disenchanter, and the Rust Monster, in that it's a steal-your-stuff monster. I mean, even the Rust Monster is just a kill-your-stuff monster. Like, it eats your stuff, but what the Zorbo does is it absorbs its protective qualities. So if you have, like, I don't know, a plus one shield, the Zorbo can hit it, absorb its qualities, destroying it, and increase its own AC by plus one. You can imagine that these guys are very popular among player characters. So yeah, they're an example of a monster that is situationally powerful, which is more of an interesting idea in theory than in practice, because such creatures are never as fun as you think they are, because it takes a good deal of contrivance to make this relevant. But after all, you're the one who decides where they are. So Zorbo's at AC 10 or whatever is never actually going to happen, because they're, like, where would they be in order to not have wood, stone, or metal to absorb the qualities of? They live in trees, so why wouldn't they just absorb the qualities of the wood? So, you know, so if they're in a cave, then it's stone. The idea is fun in theory, but in practice, it's a situational question that the DM has essentially decided the answer to in advance, which is less fun. Less fun for the DM. I often have to remind myself that you can look at these things from a player's perspective and they come out quite differently. I gather that 5th edition players do complain a good deal about the Zorbo. Like players of all generations, they're very attached to their magic armor and they don't like having it taken away. And of course, there are classes in 5th, and indeed there are classes in every edition, that are quite resistant to this. So you have lots of classes that can get high bonuses to their ACs, but without really wearing a lot of armor. Barbarians or monks or what have you. And of course, they're, you know, in a uniquely good situation to deal with these guys, right? If you're dealing with rust monsters, it's the same deal. You send out the monk, and she'll go out there and use her kung fu on him. Next up, we have the Zygom, and how fitting to end Monster Manual 2 with another gosh darn it infectious fungus monster. The Zygom is fine. It is a parasitic fungus. It infects creatures and it takes them over. You know, they get into the creature, they steer it around, and then eventually it dies and the Zygom leaves, or it gets into a position to infect another host. The Zygom also secretes a kind of sticky resin, I guess, that can glue things together, and this is used both to sort of like attach the Zygom to a new host, I suppose, but also to create hilarious shenanigans where like a character's sword might get stuck to their hand. And I guess that's fun. The problem with the Zygom is the problem with many of the other monsters in its category, which is that there's nothing wrong with it, but it also doesn't have that much that distinguishes it thematically or conceptually from other types of It's a Fungus That Infects You monsters. Partly, I think, also, its level of novelty has been reduced because, you know, in the 80s, this might have been like a shocking image. Even as of a few years ago, I think fungal monsters that brain-controlled their targets were, you know, more of a cool idea. But I think in the age of virally shared, fascinating science content, everybody now knows about that fungus species that, like, possesses, effectively, ants or whatever it is. And many people have played The Last of Us, the PlayStation 3 game in which the zombie apocalypse is this fungal spore thing and is, like, clearly based on that. So I think we are now at the point where, like, if, you know, maybe in the early 80s, when you see a fungus monster, what you think is like, oh, if I eat this, I'm going to hallucinate, or I better avoid breathing these spores in because, you know, I'm going to be poisoned. You know, what you think about with mushrooms is like, oh, they're going to be poisonous like toadstools, or they're going to be, you know, hallucinogenic, right? They can be like magic mushrooms. And then now I think a lot of the time when you think of a fungal monster, what you think of is mind control. Like, it's going to possess you and take over your nervous system. So they're fine, but I feel like maybe they've lost some of their oomph as a result. I do simultaneously like and not like the body horror of it. By like, I mean I think that it's very effective, and by not like, I mean that stuff genuinely creeps me out. I guess it's one of those things where it violates our perception of our body's boundaries, and of course I understand that in fact we are, you know, we have all kind of gut flora and bacteria and, you know, there are lots of other organisms that live inside us, but yet one doesn't like to be reminded of it. I like to be able to maintain my conceptual bodily integrity even if my actual bodily integrity is a myth. So anyway, that is the Zygom, and with it the Zed chapter and the whole of Monster Manual 2. In our next episode, we're going to be turning a retrospective eye on Monster Manual 2, seeing what patterns we can identify, what we've learned, and talking a little bit about what comes next on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.